Welcome to Racing with Ryan. I'm your host, the voice of New Smyrna Speedway, Ryan Stevens. And, of course, joining me, the super spotter, Margo Sterling. How you doing, Margo?
I'm good.
You having fun over there?
Yes.
She has discovered my box of childhood NASCAR collectibles. And we've been sitting here for the past 20 minutes determining who was who before we started the show tonight. So if she seems distracted, she is.
It's because I'm playing with Terry Labonte.
Yes.
Terry Labonte's race car.
To be clear. And it's the Monsters, Inc. edition. So we determined that our little buddy can have that one to play with. So.
Because Mike Wazowski.
It is.
Sorry. I'm done now.
See, she's going to be distracted all show, folks, because of race cars. But we've got some race car things to talk about. We made it out to the Citrus County Speedway last weekend for Wheelman Series race number 2. And there was a lot of stuff going on in Florida, but we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the super late model race over at Auburndale. Talk a little bit of super late model Florida racing as well. And we'll catch up on what's going on in the world of NASCAR, because there's not a thing going on in NASCAR these days, is there, Margo?
Nothing at all. Alex Bowman's not winning races. William Byron's not wrecking the next gen car.
They haven't changed speed weeks. They haven't done any of that.
Nothing.
So
NASCAR. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it doesn't. It's just, it's going through some weird change, and we'll weigh in on that towards the end of the show. But let's talk about our experience over at Citrus County Speedway. My second time over there. You've been over there what, a handful of times recently?
More times than I can count. That is my favorite track in the state.
It is a pretty fun little place, I'll tell you that much.
People laugh at me because I say it's racy, and they're like, well, I hope so. It's a racetrack. I'm like,
it is racy, but
it is an awesome track. People feel like there's only one groove there. No, there's two, and sometimes you can make three.
I feel like, I don't know if it was the weather or just circumstance, but I feel like the inside was the dominant groove.
Yeah,
the other night
it definitely was.
I think it was probably the weather. I don't know, track conditions maybe, but let's go ahead and let's dive into it. Let's talk about the Wheelman Sportsman Race. That's what got us there. Of course, they started their season off at New Smyrna back during Speed Weeks, and it was like a night and day difference. The race during Speed Weeks had a lot of cautions. Luckily, just some spins, nothing too crazy. No one got their stuff torn up. But this race, they had one spin at the beginning. Matt Green got turned around. Complete restart, and then it was clean and green. Were you expecting a clean and green 50-lap sportsman race at Citrus?
No.
Me neither.
And it's because of how the track conditions were. Like, usually the inside lane at Citrus is the better lane, and this is me talking as a fan. I've never been a driver there. I've never been a driver. The inside lane is usually the faster ones because up there the slow groove is on the top. So you get up in the top, we call it the marbles, and then yeah, you're just behind the slow person trying to get into the bits. But there were some 2 and 3 wide, or 3 and 4 wide at one point. Coming out of 4, they were almost 4 wide, but I thought there were going to be more cautions, and it probably would have made it. It was a great race from like 4th on back for me.
There was some cars charging towards the end, and I was really expecting a caution inside of 10 to go. Brookstore, usually she qualifies really, really well, and then the invert kills her, because the Wheelman Series, they don't care if you're racing at a half mile or a quarter mile. Their inverts are like 10, 12, 14 cars.
They'll qualify, or they'll invert 52 cars if 70 of out them of 30. Qualify.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that makes it very interesting, and it can also change the whole landscape of the race. And usually the story is Brookstore qualified fastest and finished 6th because the invert killed her. On this night, and we kind of read about it before we went up there. She had been having problems in practice. You mentioned it to me before we even got up there.
Yeah, she was having some carburetor problems. And then definitely during qualifying, and even towards the end of the race, you could hear her motor just slowly giving out. And she told me after the race that if she would have had 2 more laps, she would have been done.
So a good thing it was only a 50-lapper.
Yeah, if it was 52 laps, then whoever finished 2nd, I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who was. Let me check who was 2nd. But yeah, like Jason Boyd, she's got Boyd helping her out. And if there's somebody who can get a car back race ready after practice problems or during a race even, it is Jason Boyd. And they were able to work on it, and they got it fixed up just right, just right for 50 laps.
Was it Macy that finished second?
No, it was Brandon Morris.
Oh,
Brandon
that's right.
Morris
okay.
ended up second. And he's the guy that I had my eyes on in the 56. I think I was telling you, or maybe it was Frank during the race, I'm like, if we get a caution, the 56 is coming. Because he started back outside the top 10, and he was one of the few that was able to make passes and get up there. And he was still half a straightaway behind at the end. But yeah. if we had a caution, we would have been looking at, I think Brandon Morris would have won the race. But great drive for Brooke Storrs. She does take over the points lead. And it was nice to see a great field of cars. They had 20 of them start, and nobody had any major damage. And that was a good thing from New Smyrna, too. They had some spins. They had some wild stuff. But nobody really tore anything up too bad. So
egos, maybe.
Egos always get torn up. And it doesn't even have to be on the racetrack. Anything racing related, the eagles will get torn up. What are eagles? But yeah, Brooke Storrs, she did a great job. And fought through a lot of problems that could have put some teams on the trailer loaded up going home.
Yeah.
So I want to give kudos to that team and Jason Boyd for keeping the car going. And I think that's important when you tow out to a racetrack, is to try to do what you can to at least start the feature for the fans.
Yeah.
Because a 20-car field sounds way better than 19. And it would have been easy for them. Nope, this isn't our night. We're not going to get it. But yet they fought and ended up in victory lane. So
which was something to say for that whole team, because I know we were on our way there and I read on Speed 51, I believe, they had posted that she was fighting carburetor issues and they were either going to change the carburetor or have to end up changing the engine. So to see her be able to come back out and win after all those issues, that's awesome.
Yeah, and she had a solid opening race at New Smyrna and now a win, so solidly sitting atop the point standings for the Wheelman Series. So Brooke Storrs wins race number 2 ahead of Brandon Morris. Matthew Green, Jeff Schofield was 4th, and Jesse Henley rounding out the top 5 out of the 20-car field. Again, really happy. We talked about this in our preview show for Speed Weeks. Really happy to have the Wheelman Series kind of bookending their season at New Smyrna. But now they're going to be kind of back and forth between Citrus and 417, and I think they're also going to...
They also run Gresham.
Gresham. That's it. I knew they had another track up north that they were going to.
If I could blow off New Smyrna for a weekend,
that'd be the place to go, right?
Have you ever been to... You've never been to Gresham.
No, I've never been there before.
I have been there before it closed down. I was young.
That's going to be a hell of a race weekend.
It's going to be awesome, because I believe they also have the Florida Pro Truck Challenge Series is there. And it's their trucks running against the Alabama, Georgia, North Florida, Pensacola guys.
Right, which we kind of had that at Speed Weeks last year, and the Northern trucks won. So this will be the Florida Pro Trucks will be looking for their revenge there. They have another race coming up at 417 next weekend, or this coming weekend. This weekend. So we'll try to cover that a little bit. We will not be at a racetrack this weekend, because our regular season's coming up. So we're doing some celebrating this weekend. We've got a couple things to celebrate. So no racing for us, but we'll try to stay tuned in, at least catch up on it all on Sunday. So speaking of Citrus in our trip there, I think we can both go ahead and just say it right now. The Ford Outlaw Figure 8 guys, they stole the damn show.
Well, you'd never seen one. I've seen them quite a few times, and I love them.
I mean, that was a lot of fun outside of that. That was the most fun I've had in a kind of race like that outside of a Crash-O-Rama.
I liked that we went and sat in the grandstands, and we were fans for the night. And thank you so much, Frank and Holly, because we got to go out and drink and be race fans, which we don't get to do a lot of the times when we're at a racetrack. I'm in the grandstands by myself.
Because 90% of the time I get corralled into announcing, and you're like, you're not going to announce tonight, right? I'm like, nope, I'm going as a fan.
Or we're there and we're in the pits and kind of being semi-professional on your behalf.
Yeah.
Me, I don't care. I'm a hot mess express no matter where I go.
Oh, and this week I wanted to go. I wanted to have a few drinks. I wanted to be a race fan again, and I got to do that, and it was a lot of fun.
It was super cool for me to see you get excited about the Ford Figure 8s, because anytime we go to a different track, you're excited about, obviously, the headlining show if it's a good car count, but also you like the pure stocks, the street stocks, super stocks. So seeing you get excited about something that's realistically the same cars, just going in at 8, it was super cool for me.
Yeah, and they, I mean, they were just crazy.
And at one point, we had taken a bet, and I can't remember, I think it was the heat race, because you weren't up there. Tim, that was with us, yeah. went how many laps before somebody goes through the tires and into the pond?
No, that was me. That was
you
me.
Both said it.
We were like, all right.
And
Frank thought somebody was going to go upside down or something, and I thought someone was going to end up in the pond, or me and Tim thought somebody was going to end up in the pond.
And I said, I said, I give it 2 or 3 laps, and on that third lap, somebody went into the tires but stopped.
Just short of the pond. So,
and yeah, they're, like, their heat race was just as good as their feature.
Yeah,
so
it was.
I love them.
The Outlaw Fords, I don't know if they do figure eight all the time, but that was super fun. Last time, I think we saw the mini stocks do figure eights.
It was something like
that.
They
put somebody upside down, which was... It was
fun.
It was fun to see those guys just go out there with those old beat-em-up Fords and just put on a show. And it kind of gives me hope for our Bomber B class, if we can get that up and going, which I really think that'll come alive after the Bad Bunny Enduro, because people have the cars laying around. They're like, oh, we can come back out and do some racing. They started 10 of those things in the feature. And Jesse Veltman, I didn't know any of these guys.
The 551.
Jesse Veltman was the winner of the Ford Outlaws, and I see why they call them Outlaws, because they just do not care. They just go to town, and it was awesome. Not what got us out there, but that is the thing we left talking about. So,
yep.
Great job of the Ford Outlaws. They had a great field of mini stocks. Thomas Pete won the mini stock feature.
Can we just call them Bombers?
Yeah, they were like our Bombers at New Smyrna. And then they had 18 mod minis. And
boy, did they race like there were 18 of them.
Oh, yeah. They had a lot of wrecks, a lot of spins, a lot of cars hitting the wall. It was cool to see some of our home track guys out there, like Shane Satoris, Mark Brote. Some of the other guys, you know, like Clint Holmes were out there.
And his beautiful super mini sportsman mini stock.
Yes, built by Chad Pierce Motorsports. First ever mini stock mod mini that they put out. So,
yep.
And he ended up, let's see, he ended up 8th, but Clint Foley had by far the best car. He was able to stay out of all the trouble and won the thing.
Because of course he did. And then
that's like his stomping ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the kid in the 69, I can't think of his last name right now.
69.
He finished 2nd.
Finished 2nd. Where to go? Mod minis. Michael Hind.
He just bought that car off of Ted Vulpius, so I was
That's
a
right.
little bit heartbroken right. and did not believe that was the beast.
It was. And it
until
looked,
I saw
nice,
all
dude.
The winner stickers.
Yeah, it's a dead giveaway.
And then I'm like, oh, yep, that's Ted Vulpius' car. I don't know if that was his first race, but it was definitely his first race in that car. And I know somebody will correct me if I am wrong, but I was extremely impressed, and for me to say somebody driving a Ted Vulpius car impressed me and they weren't Ted Vulpius, that says a lot. But
you look at his first race, and
you
could tell he was new to that car anyways, because it would get away from him from time to time. It kind of reminded me of Tony DeGeorge when he drove the now one car, the old one of the other Vulpius cars.
We don't talk about that.
And was kind of, you know, not in over his head, but definitely getting used to the car. Once these guys get these cars figured out, they'll probably be contenders at their tracks.
But he did super good. I told Timmy Vulpius that I was super impressed, and I have to give props to Randy Anderson for setting up that car and all that, because he learned a lot of stuff from mini stocks from his dad, Wayne, and also from Ted.
And that's why Wayne will drive for Ted at the big Showtime race. So
but I heard him thank
there.
Randy Anderson, and I'm like, wait, what? And then it kind of clicked. I'm like, oh, wait. Yep.
Well, speaking of Anderson, he was running the super race over at Auburndale, which we'll talk about here in a minute. The other race from Citrus was the Pure Stocks, and you know how I love Pure Stocks, Super Stocks, Street Stocks, those big old Monte Carlos. They had 20 of them and put on a really, really interesting race. No surprise, though, James Peters in the 5 was the winner there. I think I called that one.
And we were all cheering for either James Peters. At one point, I had everybody cheering for Craig at some point, just because they were battling pretty hard, too. I don't even know what position poor Craig was battling for, but he was doing a damn good job at
it. Yeah, and then he ended up 17th. He and Wesley Rounds, I think, got into it and kind of had some trouble there. But great field of cars and really fun race. I love seeing these kind of cars run. I want to give a shout out to Bobby Mobley in the 29, because that thing came out to Auburndale, one of the races we were at earlier this year, could barely get out of his own way, could barely roll. And I'm picking on him because the car, it's, you know, original.
Was that the primer gray
one?
Yeah,
it was like the, yeah. No, the red. It had like the maroon and the gray all over it. Okay. It. Obviously, just stock body panels, no paint job, spray paint, black number. It looks like a pile, but it came out, and he actually ended up in fifth. So I got to give him a shout out. And I was picking on him. People were like, hey, you're being so. I'm just picking. That's what I do, you know? It's like the Doms. I pick on them, but I love them. So
yeah.
I want to give a shout out to them, and overall a great racing night at Citrus County. Glad we went out there to just have fun and go to the races.
Me too. I love that track. It's my favorite track.
Oh, we'll be back. We'll definitely be back. So the other big race that we want to talk about here this weekend, was over at the Auburndale Speedway. They had their what they call the Mardi Gras 100.
Even though Mardi Gras was over, but we won't get into that.
Well, that's all right. I give them credit for their creativity. They had the Super Bowl 100 the week before the Super Bowl. They had the Mardi Gras 100. I give them credit because
I'm just picking.
When you put, you know, something creative in front of your 100, it just sounds like an event. So, I like that kind of marketing, and I know Rick, when we were up there talking, he's like, yeah, just look at the schedule and see what's around and go with that. So I got to give them credit for that because it does make it seem, or at least makes it sound cool. So they had 14 late models start the race. There's 15 of them there. One of the guys that I talked to on Facebook, he had his car there for the first time and wasn't able to start. But so 14 supers for the 100 lapper, and no surprise here, but George Gorham in the 03 on the comeback, he gets the win. Remember, wrecked that car bad at Auburndale at the end of last year, and then went to, I believe it was Showtime the week before, finished fourth, and now over to Auburndale picking up the big win. What's that?
I think that's a new car.
Is it a new car?
I believe so.
Well, the last time he raced a late model at Auburndale, he wrecked it bad, so... but now he's got this.
He didn't wreck it. He got caught up in a wreck and got wrecked.
Okay. All right. I hate it when people do that. But yes, he got involved in a wreck. Whether he started or not, he wrecked the machine. And he's back with a new one and winning at his home track there.
Yay. Good job, George. You did it.
And let's see. What was the end results here? George Gorham, the winner. Matt McCrary, the champion from last year, finished second. Daniel Webster in the 33 was third. Fun story about Daniel. I was reading on his Facebook that he showed up after practice, started at the back because he didn't get to qualify, and came through and finished third. So that's an impressive run. John Guy was fourth. Fifth was Brian Doerr. Sixth was Randy Anderson. Becca Monopoly coming home seventh. David King, eighth. Alexa Anderson, ninth. And how about this? Doug Elliott rounding out the top 10. I love that some of our New Smyrna regulars are going to these other tracks as well. Because...
Yes.
You know, I sit there and preach, oh, we'd love to get the Citrus guys to come to New Smyrna when they can, Auburndale, vice versa. I like that our guys, like Shane and Mark going up to Citrus, Doug taking the late model to Auburndale. I think it's great that as Florida racers, we're supporting all the tracks, or at least starting to branch out a little bit.
Yeah, and I know last year, the first race I went to at Citrus in January, Doug Elliott was there.
Yeah.
And he's been there for a couple of them.
A couple times, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that. I wish Brad May, when he's not racing with us, would go run, and you know, David Rogers when he's up to it as well. But it's nice to see, because you know, I sit here and preach, oh, come on guys, bring your stuff out, and I think it needs to go both ways. And,
oh, absolutely. It's good for everybody.
It is. And I get it. There's going to be nights where people schedule on top of each other. It's inevitable. When we all race Saturdays and you got four or five good racetracks going on, it's going to happen. And I get that those nights we're going to have to split, but I would love to start seeing A, common rules, B, common tires, and just everybody feeling like they can go to these other places and compete.
Yep.
And that's what I wanted to get to, and I encourage supporting all the tracks, and that goes for our New Smyrna guys too. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, these guys need to come here, and then not encourage our guys to go elsewhere. Now, when we race, I want everybody at New Smyrna, but you know, late models, we're off until the 21st. Go support these other tracks and
absolutely
get them to come support us. We can all help each other. You know, it's real easy to say, oh, just, you know, sit back and wait and see what happens. But if we can all get out there, encourage, you know, get with your buddies, say, hey, come race with me at New Smyrna. I'll come race with you at Auburndale. Yeah. That's the kind of thing we need. So I was glad to see Doug Elliott there on the list. And I'm glad that Auburndale had a good turnout there for the race. And I didn't hear about too much craziness. So, Must have been a decent show. So let's see what else we have here from Auburndale. Mini Cups, Bray Holmes won the Mini Cup race. That's a bit of a surprise in the 71. So Bray Holmes the winner there. Jarrett Wagman in the 2 won the Little Gator Legends race. What else did they run? Dustin Wilson won the Scrambler race. And they had Pure Stocks that night as well. And that was won by the 41 of Stephen Osteen. So I guess Stephen's not mad at the track anymore, because I know he was hot after the last race.
He's not screaming or walking across the track or anything.
Yes. Yeah. So congratulations to those winners there. George Gorham, by the way, winner of the Super Race. He finished 3rd in the Pure Stocks.
In
the K9. I love when he gets behind the wheel of that thing. So.
Well, crap. For charity race weekend, he was in a truck, a late model. A sportsman, and a...
Yeah, he had a sportsman, he had a pure stock, and he hopped in that modified.
That one.
Yep.
I don't know why.
That modified I think might be older than Gordy.
I think that modified could qualify as a dom car. but yeah,
that's saying something.
I don't know why I said truck. Probably because that's what I've always known George in. Is trucks.
Well, that's where he
sportsmen.
Started pretty much, right?
Yep.
Trucks and sportsmen. A lot of these guys started in the trucks.
They just create drivers, okay?
So I got to give a shout out to Sunshine State Racing. They often share this podcast, and we're very appreciative of that. But they have put all the results of all the racing. And normally I'm scrambling trying to remember what
I was going to say. I feel like it wouldn't be one of our podcasts if we don't fangirl for them for a moment, because we always go back to them to look at the results, to see if they have any like driver interviews, all that stuff. They're awesome, Jen, Krista.
Because I'll be honest, for this show, I didn't write down any notes, so they are keeping me on track here. So I gotta thank them for that. Having all the results in one place is nice, because we all know my phone and I don't get along very well. So the other big track in action was 417. Don't know a whole lot about what went down here, but want to give a shout out to their winners. 75 laps for the Street Stocks. Danny Kaler won that event. 10 cars started that one. They had a 50-lap Pro Truck race, not a Florida Pro Truck Challenge race, but a good tune-up anyways for the Challenge race when they get down there. A name I do not recognize, Granger Para won. Yeah, Granger Para won the 50-lap Pro Truck race over there. They had V8 Bombers as well, won by Donnie Ollie in the 09, so it looks like a pretty good night there for 417. We've been down there once. That was pretty fun. We saw a big sportsman and Florida Pro Truck Challenge Series race down there a couple months ago, I should say. So that's some of the big racing that went around the state of Florida. So it looks like everybody had a pretty good week. Mother Nature's been pretty nice. It's been so very dry, and I hope that continues on into the regular season. No racetracks for us here this weekend, but thanks to all the great folks at Sunshine State Racing, easy for me to say right now, and everybody on Facebook, will be able to keep up with what's going on. So we'll try to do another rundown of all the other tracks here. And then as we get into the new Smyrna season, we'll be talking a lot of new Smyrna. And you know what we're going to do?
I just really want to hear you say Sunshine State Racing again.
Sunshine State Racing. Got it. Nailed it. Boom. Did it.
You said Sunshine State Racing.
I know. The S's. My lisp came out. So yeah, we'll try to keep up to date with what's going on. And thanks to all those great people, we'll be able to. But going into the regular season at New Smyrna, which, by the way, quick plug, it starts March 21st, super late model 50. Plus, we'll have New Smyrna trucks. We'll have Sportsman Bomber A's, which are the four-cylinder bombers, and the Vintage Ground Pounders as well.
Yes.
And I plan to get quite a few interviews, so we'll get back into the interview game once we get started up and we're back at the racetracks. So that is what we have coming up here, at least as far as what we'll be covering. But let's go ahead and switch gears. Let's get caught up on the NASCAR stuff. Of course, we talked about the Daytona 500 a few weeks ago. Great race there. But we've had two more since then. And I got to tell you, I like what I'm seeing out of this season. And here's why. Las Vegas, Daytona's always an anomaly. You never know who's going to contend there. But what we've seen at Vegas and California, we've seen kind of the changing of the guard starting to happen. We've had all these young guys kind of developing and brewing. Vegas came down to Ryan Blaney leading with about 6-7 laps to go. Alex Bowman closing in. Of course, the caution came out, changed everything.
Blaney had to pit.
Yeah, Blaney pitted, Bowman pitted, Logano wins. So not a surprise when you look at the standings, but if you go back and look at the race, it was going to be something different.
But DiBurrito finished second, didn't he? Yeah. And Ricky Stenhouse, y'all all bash me because I love Ricky Stenhouse. Well, where's your third place in NASCAR? Oh, that's right. It's not happening because I'm going to stop myself.
And look, I'm probably going to get bashed for this, and that's okay. But I like Joey Logano. I've been a Logano fan since he was coming up through the ranks.
It's okay to be wrong. I'm a Ricky Stenhouse fan.
Right, and it's okay to be wrong.
I got Terry Labonte in my pocket, though.
That's right. I don't know what power he's giving you, but...
none.
But I'm glad that Logano got the win versus, say, someone I don't like. But man, I was looking forward to seeing that Alex Bowman-Ryan Blaney duel to the finish, just because we don't normally get that. You know what I mean?
You were looking forward to it?
I really was. I know you were. When you woke up with six to go, and you're like, oh my God, this is going to get good. And then the caution came out.
And then changed Ryan everything. Blaney had to pit. And I'm like, what?
And then you're like, oh, I should have stayed in bed. Or should have stayed asleep. But then at California, we end up getting Alex Bowman. I mean, Alex Bowman flat dominated. Normally, I hate a dominating race, but when it's somebody...
And Ryan Blaney screwed because of a pit stop again.
Yeah, and what we got to see was, again, Alex Bowman and Ryan Blaney at the what people call the true racetracks on the NASCAR schedule, right up near the front in both races, basically running 1-2 inside of 5 to go. And to me, that's refreshing because the last couple of years, what have we had? We've had Kevin Harvick. Martin Truex. I'm Ryan Truex. So Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex, Kyle Busch, kind of the big three, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I like Truex. I like Harvick. Not so much Busch. Gotta give him credit for being a talented driver. But man, does it get old watching the same three guys kind of up there winning all the races?
I mean, unless it's Jeff Gordon. Yeah,
right, but we can't have that anymore. So. Thank God we still get to listen to him, but...
I was super happy that for once, we have kind of determined in the NASCAR world that if I post that I like somebody or go this person on Facebook, they wreck. But I was so happy that what Chase Elliott won stage one, or Alex Bowman won stage one, and then Ryan Blaney won stage two, and then Alex Bowman won the race. And I'm like, yay, my boy. I posted, all I want is to see my Hendrick boys and, of course, Ryan Blaney do good. And they did. Well,
Blaney ran good, and he's been running good. And Blaney's, man, talk about a roller coaster of a season for him, because he's been in contention now to win all three races and really doesn't have anything but a second-place finish at Daytona, and that was a heartbreaker in and of itself to show for it. But I think he's got, if he can kind of get that mental weight off his shoulder, he's got to keep that momentum going, and he's got to have confidence going into Phoenix this weekend. Now, Phoenix, way different racetrack than Vegas and California. We've got a whole new rules package this weekend. Hopefully going to make the racing a little bit better. I'm excited for it. Maybe I have the new season blinders on right now, and maybe come race 16, 17, I'll be a little less excited. But I am excited because we're seeing some fresh faces. God, I feel 3-4 years, it's been the same old, same old. The same, you know, you got Logano, Harvick, Busch, Truex. You got all these same guys winning. And to start the year, yeah, we've had Hamlin win. Yeah, we've had Logano win. But Daytona, we almost had Ryan Newman win the damn thing. And then Vegas, it looked like it was going to be Bowman versus Blaney. And then at California, you get Bowman dominating, which... Normally, I get bored with a dominating race, but it's nice to see a fresh face. Like, go out there and not just, okay, he got the lead on the last pit stop with five to go and held on to win. No, he dominated. He flat out proved that he belongs out there.
I think for you, it was really just nice to see me cheer for an 88 for once.
Yeah, and you were happy. And
I love Alex Bowman. I want to know where he got his tattoo, if he's gotten it yet. He said he wouldn't get it on his butt, so
we'll have to get
that
the follow-up
on
that.
For.
I have not seen
he
the
hasn't
follow-up
gotten
on that.
It yet.
But
yeah, Ryan Blaney's had tough luck or been screwed because of pit stops.
Or flat tires.
But he's still leading the points.
Yep. And he's got speed, which I don't see that same speed. Logano's got a win, so he's got speed. But I don't see the same speed in Keselowski right now. And remember, they swapped all the crew chiefs around at Penske this year.
Yeah.
So I think that is maybe why we're seeing some of the difference right now, and I'm sure it'll even out as the season goes. But
and I know we're only, what, on the fourth race of the season this year? Listen to this for the point standings, and this is just people that I wouldn't expect to see up there.
Talking about fresh, right?
Ryan Blaney, whatever. I love him. Alex Bowman, Chase Elliott is in sixth. Matt DiBenedetto is in eighth.
Heck yeah.
Eric Almirola, Chris Buescher. I don't care about Austin Dillon. Ricky Stenhouse, Darrell Wallace, Bubba Wallace.
He's one spot out of 16th, right?
Yeah. Eric Jones is like two spots. But I'm talking about like top 20.
Where's Kyle Busch?
In 19th.
Yeah. Now that'll change, of course.
And Willie B is in 20th.
Now it's a little too early to get excited about, oh, this guy's in 10th in points, because it's going to change. We all know Kyle Busch is going to get a win. He'll jump into the playoffs. But I am very, very happy about the speed and the consistency I've seen out of the 12 and 88. And, you know, Chase Elliott should have, could have, would have won Las Vegas. I know he's gotten a few wins. He's been around a little while. But I still consider him a fresh face and kind of a face NASCAR needs to get up there and be contending. So
he's definitely a face NASCAR needs.
He's a butt, too, according to you. But
yes,
no pun intended. It's been a very interesting start to the season. Also, been a fun start for the Xfinity series too. Seeing Harrison Burton getting his first win at California, so that was exciting. I know we were all sitting at Citrus, kind of watching the end of qualifying. Like,
I was squealing.
Is Harrison gonna win? Is Harrison? And Harrison won. All right.
Yeah, I was squealing.
Because we've all had the chance to meet that family working at New Smyrna, so that's always special.
I was just waiting for my Kim cam, which I finally got 24 hours later. So I love Kimberly. She's my favorite Burton.
She's like...
aside from Ward.
Aside from Joe Nemechek, Martha Nemechek, Joe Nemechek's mother, who used to be the same way and get all excited. I love seeing that. So
I
hope that continues, even when Harrison's like 30 in the Cup Series.
You were cooking lunch. You were making our wings. And I ran in the house. I'm like, can you watch this video of Harrison and Kimberly? It's what I want to be as a racing mom. Yeah.
I think it's great. And after the tough season Harrison had in the trucks, not winning, not making the playoffs, it's nice to see him come out. And he's in great equipment, Xfinity Series. There's only about eight or so really good cars this year. I'm not going to take anything away from the kid because it's hard to win races no matter what you're racing in.
Ryan's never done it.
No, I never have.
Hey, me neither.
I've got 10 laps practice under my belt in a real stock car, and that's it. So I'm not one to talk. But the Nationwide or Xfinity Series, it's kind of taking a dive this year, and it'll refluctuate. But another guy I like seeing doing well is... Ryan Sieg in the 39. He's had a third and a fourth place finish, sitting third in the point standings. Yes, Kyle Sieg that we saw at Speed Weeks, his brother. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The cars looked exactly, the 39s on the cars look identical too. It's pretty cool to see those guys do good.
I think he'll get a win and surprise a lot of people. So I think there's a lot of good things happening this year. I got to tell you though, I'm really, really worried about 2021. We got a lot of changing, and I'm not worried about the lug nut situation. I don't care about, you could put six, you could put half a lug nut on the damn thing. I don't care. The tires are tires. I'm worried about the schedule for next year. I think they're going to cut races. I think they're going to move a lot of stuff around. I think we're going to get less NASCAR next year, and that has me concerned.
I have no opinions. It doesn't, like, there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah. It's going to suck because then I might have a longer break between football and NASCAR, but it'll be all right.
See, I've always loved how you get the Super Bowl, then you get NASCAR. They overlap at the end, but then you get the holidays. It goes so fast, and then we're right back into it.
I feel like NASCAR is doing what they feel they need to do and what they feel is right, and that's fine. But no, like, they could race 52 weeks a year, and someone somewhere is going to complain.
Of course, someone's going to complain. I mean, I'm not wild about the Clash moving to the road course.
I am.
I know you're excited about that. I'm just,
But that's actually because I've gone and watched several races on the road course, and I know and where you're coming from. You're like, oh, well, if you're sitting in the grandstands or in the infield, you can't see much. Well, probably a good thing there's a Jumbotron.
Yeah, but I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay a $50 ticket to go watch the TV. I can watch the TV from home and see everything.
When I go to a football game, they look like little tiny ants from our seats. But guess what? For me, it's about the atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah, and that's
and
definitely...
for a lot of people, it is about the atmosphere.
You definitely get the atmosphere, and I will give you that, because it's like going to a short track versus watching it on YouTube or something. When you're there, you're immersed in it. You got the sounds, the smells. When you watch it on YouTube, you're like, yeah, this is great to relive that moment. But if you weren't there, I don't think you have that same it doesn't feel the same. So I do see what you're saying. And yes, you'll be able to see what's going on and from the TVs and stuff, but Here's my biggest thing about it. The Daytona Road Course, it's meant for sports cars. And you have the Roval in Charlotte, which has become this really fun thing. To me, if all these tracks start going to their infield road course, it's going to diminish the Roval. I think leaving the Roval being the only infield road course we have is good. It's like Eldora and the trucks. They don't need another dirt race. Let it be special. Now we're gonna have the Clash.
Yeah, but
we're gonna start the season on the Daytona Road Course. And the Clash is for qualifying on the pole. We have three road courses a year, and now we're gonna award our pole sitters by sending them to a road course. It doesn't make sense. I get that they wrecked a lot of cars, but why do we need to? I used to get excited, man. I loved the Clash. There's going to be passing. There's going to be crashing. It's an exhibition race. People are just going to go crazy. Like, it was a crazy race, and now they're going to put on the road course? I don't think it's going to be as exciting.
You just said my point. It is an exhibition race, and people are going to go crazy.
Okay. I'm sitting here looking you in the eye and saying, I hope they do.
For that Tuesday, because you'll be bored to death probably at New Smyrna during Speed Weeks, and guess where I'll be.
I will not be bored.
Well, I mean, the Clash is during the day.
Oh, that's another thing.
It's going to night.
I don't like that it's at night, because now it's like...
I'll probably still be there.
It was fun. You got to go to the Clash, and then you got to come to New Smyrna. So that means all the people could have went to the Clash and then come to New Smyrna. And now
the Clash
is at night. The duels are at night. Qualifying is probably going to be at freaking night.
Here's the thing. I went to the Clash during the day. We got there at 2:30. We were back at New Smyrna by 6. So 4 hours.
Yeah.
If they're running the road course, that's a 3.5-mile road course. They're probably going to shorten it, the laps. They're not going to do 80 laps around that
road
course.
It'll probably still be the same length overall. It'll just be less laps.
But it took us about 20 minutes to leave Daytona and get back to New Smyrna.
Yep.
And that's including me going back to camp, changing my clothes, and then getting up to the stands.
Yeah, now people can't do that. Now they have to choose. You want to go to New Smyrna, you want to go to Volusia, you want to go to Daytona. You can't do both.
I don't think it's going to kill the fan counts at any of the tracks, because think about it. When New Smyrna ran up against the duels, they had 3 or 4 races. The fans were still good.
That's true. And this is
if
something...
you want to go to the NASCAR race and spend the money on the tickets, the drinks, the food, the merchandise, all that, then the track running 3 30-lap races down the road isn't going to stop you.
Yeah.
If you want to go to New Smyrna and watch Brad May and
the
Matt Hirschman and
whatever
Frank
else.
Button in a bomber, I don't know, I'm just trying to think.
Just throwing stuff out.
Then that's where you're going to go.
Yeah.
I do
agree with you to a degree. I think that the reason Speed Weeks is successful is the fact that fans are coming down for the Daytona 500. So there's, and a lot of them come down for the week. So they go to these different places. So yes, we get those residual fans.
A lot of them come down starting at the end of January for the Rolex. You
no, they
do
don't.
Get sports car fans.
Nah, not really.
You've never been there, so you wouldn't get it.
I'm just giving you crap.
Jockstrap, I really need you to comment and be on my side for this. You do get sports car fans that come down for a month at a time. And they do, starting with the Rolex, and then they do Daytona. Then they go to New Smyrna, Volusia, Bronson runs during Speed Weeks. They go to these other tracks. They're just, essentially what Daytona is a funnel.
Hub. Yeah.
It's a funnel.
Yeah.
They're going to all go into Daytona, and then they're going to funnel out wherever they want to go. I do not think Daytona moving their race or condensing their speed weeks is going to have an impact on these short track speed weeks.
And here's...
And if I'm wrong next year, then, well, I'm still going to say I wasn't wrong. But whatever. It is what it is. We can't do anything about it. It is 360 days away.
And another thing that's going to happen is the Super Bowl, if logic, if I've done this correctly in my head, and logic tells me that we'll start, you know, the Friday before, you know, Daytona, so 10 days back, but the Super Bowl will also overlap with Speed Weeks this year, next year. So that's going to be very interesting. I know, two different sports, but
stream
the world,
it on your phone.
The world shuts down for the Super Bowl, whether you like football or not.
The Saints
so
are going to win.
I don't care who's going to win. That has me a little concerned. But at the same time, I think it's time for short tracks to stop worrying about what NASCAR is doing, what the local hockey team is doing, what graduations, what, you know what? People are going to go where they're going to go. So I think if the short tracks focus on putting on their show, and I'm not just talking New Smyrna, I'm talking every short track. Focus on putting on your best show. Focus on hyping up your drivers, getting everybody excited. Put on a good show, and the people will come. The economy is better than it has been in the last 5-10 years. People are wanting to go out and do things again. So I think if the short tracks, New Smyrna included, focus on what they're doing and don't worry, like, when New Smyrna used to put on a light show when the Bristol Night Race was happening, you don't got to worry about that anymore. That place doesn't even fill up anymore. People aren't staying home to watch the Bristol Night Race like they used to. I would rather go out to a short track than watch the Bristol Night Race on TV. So I think it's time for the short tracks to just say, you know what? Here's what we're doing it. Here's what we're doing. We're doing it. Here's what we're running. And whatever else happens, let it happen. But put on your show and it'll be all right.
I'm going to quote Angels in the Outfield.
Do it.
Kind of. I'm going to paraphrase it. If you promote it, they will come.
Yep. I mean, hello, right here. I promoted the crap out of Speed Weeks.
Yeah, that's why I looked at you and said it.
And, you know, it ended up working out pretty well. Now, I'm not taking all the credit. I'm not taking hardly
Terry
any
Labonte.
Of the credit. But
I found him.
You found Terry Labonte?
Yes.
So, yeah, with that said, next year is going to be very interesting. We, of course, don't know the full NASCAR schedule. I still plan to support it, but I'm afraid of the schedule being cut down a few races, and I'm afraid of a lot of the races being cut down to like 250, 300 miles. And I think,
can we get rid of stage racing while we're doing all this crap to NASCAR?
I guess I'm one of the few that actually likes the stage racing. I like...
I think we should start dividing our super late model races into four different stages of three
might
laps.
Might make better races, to be honest with you. I like that they award the points. I like the playoff points. And I like the break for me to go up and go to the bathroom and go refill my beer or refill my food. And no, I'm not going to miss anything for about 10 minutes.
What commercial breaks are for? They do 962 of them
every
four laps.
The race is still going on at that point. At least during the stage breaks, you know you ain't missing anything. So you don't have to be on your Twitter. You don't have to be rushing back to the TV when they cut back when Kyle Busch goes spinning through the infield. So I can understand why people don't like the stage racing, but I also think it's a good thing, and it adds a different twist to the races. So that, I think, will stay. My hopes are that there are a few more short tracks, maybe one or two short tracks added, and one true road course added, not this Roval crap. A true road course like Circuit of the Americas. God, I'd love to see them at Laguna Seca. That'd be amazing.
But you don't like road course racing. You don't like racetracks that are made for sports cars.
I'm not going there to watch them. I don't want to go to Watkins Glen to watch a race. I want to go.
Oh, I do.
I enjoy watching that on my television.
Sorry, I want to go to Watkins Glen for the wine. The wine is why I want to go to Watkins Glen.
I also don't feel like NASCAR needs to be on street courses like they're talking about. I feel like that is a gimmick that is not going to go well. That'll be a boring race. And we also don't need to oversaturate the Cup schedule with road courses because then it becomes not special. What's special right now? We got three. Watkins Glen, special day. Sonoma, special. The Roval, fun. Yeah, gimmicky. Yeah, but it throws a twist into the playoffs, which I like. So,
hey, guys, did you know that NASCAR started on the beach?
Yes.
There, let me throw that one out. They ran on the beach and also on the boardwalk.
Tarmac boardwalk roval.
It was a wooden boardwalk.
It actually looked like a kidney bean.
It was a wooden boardwalk and sand.
Fun stuff. Let's get back to that.
Then everybody would bitch. Mines would be...
Oh, yeah. But...
We're going to run Toby Smith's Ground Pounder. That's going to be the new NASCAR cars.
Those need to be the new street cars. I'd buy a new car in a heartbeat. So what would make it better for you, Margo, as kind of more the casual NASCAR fan on this podcast? What would you like to see? What different things would you like to see next year to spice it up? Great answer.
I'm trying to think of something and not be a smartass.
Be a smartass. I don't care. What would make NASCAR racing better for you?
Michael Waltrip needs to go away.
Okay.
Other than that, it's great.
It's great.
Hendrick Motorsports just needs to keep on winning.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not into it as like everybody else is.
So you're gonna go with the flow and just hope for the best.
I like my favorite race of the year is Pocono, and so many people get bored by that race. So I have no say ever.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this: how do you feel about the Pocono doubleheader this year?
I like it.
So you like the Saturday, Sunday doubleheader?
It's my favorite race of the year. Did you just miss that? Yes, I like it.
So you're not upset that you don't get it two different weekends? You get it all crammed down your throat at once and they shorten the races?
I have this fancy little thing where I'm at New Smyrna Speedway so I can watch the NASCAR race on my phone.
Yeah.
And I don't care about the shortened races because no matter what, the guy who finishes first when the checkered flag flies is going to win.
You know what I like? I like when the races are long because I like that, you know, I get sad when
I don't
a race
like
comes
when
to
they
end.
Become I don't like when they become fuel mileage races or can we hold on to our tires for this long? I don't like strategy races.
You like them to be like shootouts at the end, 10 laps.
I do.
So maybe shorter races are a positive for you then. But
well, I mean,
who knows?
I do go to a racetrack that runs 25 to 35 laps every week. So, yes.
That's true. And I like what you said about there's nothing you can do about it. They're going to do what they want. I feel like that's the mindset we got to have. And you
as
know what?
As long as a Hendrick Motorsports car wins a few races and maybe even a championship, I really don't care.
At the end of the day, it's your choice as a fan to continue to watch or not. And if I'm not going to be happy if they shorten the races. Yeah, I'm not going to be happy if they cut the schedule. I'm already not happy that they've cut the fields down to what
they have.
They're
just trying to make more room for commercial breaks.
I guess, but I haven't stopped watching yet, and yeah, it might be different next year, and yeah, I might have to get over it. I've already gotten over the shortened speed weeks. I've gotten over the clash. My mind is on New Smyrna during that week anyway, so I'll catch the highlights. It is what it is. It makes me feel better that I don't go to the clash anymore, so... but I'm going to have to accept the changes just like everybody else because now everybody else is... We're all getting the same changes. So some people are going to process it and tune it out. Some people are going to enjoy it. And there's probably going to be good and bad changes. Yeah, it was shocking to hear the other day that the Clash is going to Tuesday night. Speed Weeks is being shortened, which I think is good for the teams. Maybe not so good for New Smyrna Racing and Speed Weeks for the short tracks. But adapt, live, and continue on. I guess that's all you can do. And if you don't like it, you don't have to watch. You can come to the short tracks. We still have all of our lug nuts. So there you go.
Please tell me how many lug nuts a sportsman has on them, Ryan.
That's 5.
Good job. You did it.
And some of the Bombers have 4, as I was made aware of the other day. Yeah. Thanks, Jared. But yeah, I mean, guys, NASCAR is going to be different next year. But like I said, I'm enjoying this season. I hope it continues. I'm sure Kyle Busch and Joe Gibbs Racing will figure some things out, and they'll be winning every other week again. But until that happens, just enjoy it for what it is.
I really just want to hear Martin Truex. F the 11, F the
20. Oh, man. You know, I listen to Radioactive on YouTube, and yeah, a lot of people are saying he's turning into a whiner ever since he went to Gibbs. No, I just think we hear him more because he's a contender, so... I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. So,
pretty much.
But anyway, yeah, that's what's going on. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to throw out there before we get out of here?
Go Willie B and Alex Bowman.
Go Willie B and Alex Bowman.
And Chase Elliott.
and Chase Elliott. So go Hendrick Motorsports.
Except Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, except Jimmy Johnson.
Sorry.
You know what?
Not sorry.
One final thought before we sign
out. Oh, wait,
out
there's
of here.
My final thought. Which, I'll be so happy when this season is over so I don't have to hear about Jimmy Johnson's last race at this track. Well, last race at this track.
It's already driving you nuts.
I don't remember it being so obnoxious when Jeff Gordon retired because I am a Jeff Gordon fan.
Yeah, so you're biased, but it's okay.
I don't even remember it being this obnoxious with Dale Jr.
No, it wasn't.
I don't think I've ever disliked anybody in my life as much as I don't like the Earnhardt family. Yes, I know. Go ahead. Kill me. Slaughter me. I don't care. The only thing I care about, Jimmy Johnson, bye-bye. Can we please put somebody worthy of a, like, actual fan base in the 48? Because, like, I really don't like having to cheer for an 88 with Alex Bowman. But, like, if Harrison Burton gets to number 48, my house will become number 48.
Brad Keselowski's going to the 48.
No,
so I don't think
he's
that's
not
gonna happen.
If Brad Keselowski goes to the number 48, I'm jumping off that Hendrick Motorsports cliff real fast.
That'll be the final straw, huh?
Sorry, Willie B. Sorry, Alex Bowman. Sorry, Chase Elliott.
Can't do it, huh?
I will start cheering for, I don't know, Formula One. I will not do it. Will not.
There's racing.
Do it.
I will not watch. But just to add on to that, my final thought here is Jimmy Johnson does win a race this year.
Only
and
one.
He makes it to the round of 8 in the playoffs, but does not go to the final race at Phoenix this year, not at Homestead. So, gonna be an interesting year. We'll keep up with it here on the show. That about wraps it up here. Congratulations to everybody who won at Citrus, Auburndale, 417, and won everywhere. Congratulations to Alex Bowman for winning your Cup race. Congratulations to Harrison Burton for winning your Xfinity race. It was overall a great weekend of racing. And again, we'll be doing any kind of show, any kind of coverage next week from just everything we heard. We'll be watching the Cup race, and that is about it. So
there will be no racetrack talk on Saturday.
That's right. No, we're going on a little mini vacation. So take that, racing. We'll see you in a couple weeks when these Hornet Fires back up. But anyways, guys, thank you for listening. That's going to do it for this episode of Racing with Ryan. We out.
Goodbye.
Bye.